Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, all, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Really? Wow. Oh. And away we go. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3,356.
There we go.
Along with Steve the Thrill Hill. The Ted Smith. And Mike Hawk.
Montgomery.
And you, Iron the Men's Room. On tap today, the return of Who Sucks Less. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, a Men's Room Shout of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Tim.
The clap.
Drink it and drop. All right, here we go. Police break up a group of 600 people in Germany.
Yeah.
All there for a massive fetish sex party.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a shopper buys a reindeer ornament whose twig and berries are very hearty. New York man waiting for the bus is swallowed by a huge hole. Omaha man with hot tub in backyard told to put away his pole. And a man has 2 kilos of cocaine, which are magically delicious. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, with every job, even the ones you love, you're asked or you are told to do something that you either really don't want to do or it's just something way outside of your job description. For example, you work as a cashier at Tim Hortons, all right? All you want to do is grab some donuts and coffee for the customer, ring them up, and then send them on their way. What you don't want to do is clean human poop off of the restaurant floor or be hit by a turd that a customer throws at you. But that is exactly what happened to one sad, sad employee at a Tim Hortons in British Columbia. Yeah. It was a regular customer. Apparently, they were known to cause trouble. So, in protest, they pooped on the floor, picked up the poop, and threw it at the cashier. Nobody wants to deal with that at their job. In Texas, a cop, he had the misfortune of having to collect drug evidence. You see, the suspect was in the cop car and decided to poop in the back of the cop car and then hide their crack and their crack pipe in it. The cop knew it was there, but inevitably, he had to dig through it to find it. Now, look, not every bad job moment involves poop, of course. A newspaper reporter, she was asked to share a hotel bed with a co-worker so that the company could save money.
Ooh.
A man working retail, he was ordered to drive to another co-worker's house to remove that co-worker's dead dog. Why? because sometimes your job loses its own mind. Or maybe that's just the way the company operates in the first place. Costco, for example, they pulled products from the Fepadung Porn Coconut Company. No, you've never heard of it, but you'd recognize their products. But they started pulling those products because that company allegedly uses something called monkey labor to harvest his coconuts. And if you're wondering what monkey labor is, it's right there in the name. It's monkey labor. That's a new one for me. Probably not something I'd be comfortable with. But today, we're talking about work. Now, last week, we talked about work. How is your job dangerous and all that? This has nothing to do with that. This is entirely different. It can be your current job. It can be a former job. But today, we just want to know, who or what could you not believe that you had to deal with at work?
Be part of the big show, call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Home shows and away we go. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3,356. What a large and charged program we have for you today. We are fired up. It is a guaranteed future repeat.
Yeah, we'll see.
As once again, we have the exciting return of Who Sucks Less. Steve the Thrill Hill, you bring us three stories from the news each and every week. It is up to us to determine out of the three stories which one sucks the least. How are we looking today as far as the painfulness of the stories?
I would say all three stories have been covered at some point on this show, generally Mike's headlines or whatever. And Mike and I agreed none of these people are awful. It's just that as a result of what they did, someone else has to deal with it. It's not that far from our question today.
Like, sure.
As a result of your nonsense, it's just, it wasn't the worst thing, but someone kind of has to pick up after you, so to speak.
And speaking of nonsense, I mean, that's basically what we're going to talk about today. There is a large population of the people out there who know exactly what's going on. They have a conscience. They are aware of their surroundings. They're aware of other people. Mm-hmm. There are certain people out there who just do not get it. And unfortunately, you have to deal with those people sometimes on a day-to-day, if not weekly, basis.
I mean, look, if you work in customer service, you know, 9 out of 10 customers, probably normal, but 10% of them, it's beyond, you don't get paid enough to deal with some people, right?
No.
Or, you know, Ted, you worked as a janitor, right? And as mm-hmm. a janitor, one of the things you can anticipate is that every once in a while, you're going to stumble upon something that you don't feel like you get paid enough, but you understand it's part of the job. When you are not a janitor and have to deal with things that janitors deal with, that's when people break down, right? So,
yeah.
When I worked in restaurants, and there's always the dishwasher, right? Low man on the totem pole. It's like, hey, if the toilet's backed up and poop is overflowing out of it, that's your job.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, man, I'm a dishwasher. We're like, right, and now you have to be a toilet scrubber. I mean, it's just, there's little things. Setting up rat traps. I remember one dude, he was a dishwasher, and it was in the middle of Baltimore City. Rats are very prevalent. But every time he took the trash out, when he came back in, he's kind of like out of breath. And he was an older guy, but he's just like, man, I swear to God, you're going to rip me apart, man. There's thousands of them. This went on for like a month. So finally, they bought these big-ass rat traps. And even when we're working in a restaurant, you know, you hear, snap, snap, snap. But then it became his job to have to clean out the rat traps. And after he cleaned out the rat traps twice, he determined he would rather just deal with the living rats.
Sure. And we brought the story. I told the story like last week about the guy who was masturbating at my desk every morning. So, you know, you don't really think about those things. You know what I mean?
But you wouldn't think you should have to think about
exactly.
Those things.
And in hindsight, you look back, we had to watch some training videos for harassment over like the last week or so, right? And the scenarios that they put forward, you cannot believe that people have to deal with this kind of crap at work. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where even as guys, you know, right. You watch and you're like, there's no way there's no one out there that slimy. And then you go, oh, wait, no. There's a lot of people out there that are that
slimy.
There's
a reason they made the video. We had the story, was it yesterday maybe? There's a woman who was being sexually harassed by a coworker. She went to HR. She did everything she had to do. And this guy retaliated by putting semen in her water bottle and her honey that she used for tea. And she admitted that she consumed some of that honey. And on her computer keyboard. And I don't care where you work. I don't plan on dealing with other people's semen. I just don't.
No. That's fair.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, she did not go to work thinking like, are you kidding me? You put semen in my water bottle. I don't care who you are. You don't deserve that.
We'll start with this story as we head to north of the border. A woman was caught on camera defecating on the floor of a Tim Hortons restaurant in Canada and then throwing her excrement at an employee, according to the surveillance footage and authorities. Woman who has not been named was arrested by Royal Canadian Mounted Police in Langley, British Columbia. Woman will attend a court hearing later on this month. According to a statement from Tim Hortons, the incident took place after an employee denied the woman's restroom access based on her, quote, past behavior and out of concern for immediate safety of those that were already in the restroom.
Sure.
Tim Hortons has a restricted access policy for restrooms to ensure the well-being of the guests, which she was not. While the chain does not have a policy requiring guests to purchase something to use the bathroom, some restaurants do require a key or a buzzer, bless you, to enter the restrooms. The video of the incident was posted on social media, shows the woman arguing with an employee, then she pulls down her pants, then she defecates, then she throws the excrement at an employee, and then grabs a fistful of napkins to wipe herself. Ta-da.
Again, I just want to get you coffee, donuts, ring you up, get you out. I don't want to deal with this, man.
Not nearly as bad as the person working in Chicago. Two sisters are facing charges after prosecutors said they stabbed a store employee 27 times after being told to wear a mask inside of a Chicago store. Two sisters were 21 and 18, both charged with attempted first-degree murder after allegedly stabbing a 42-year-old security guard at Snipes Athletic Store Sunday around 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Officials said the stabbing happened after the women were told to wear masks and use store-provided hand sanitizer. One of the women held the security guard down while the other one stabbed him repeatedly. The guard was taken to Mount Sinai Hospital. He is still in critical condition. Sisters appeared in bond court Tuesday where bond was denied.
Good.
Yes.
Did they misunderstand what he said? I mean, well, I know some people have a mask issue, and it is what it is, but I would not assume that I'm going to be stabbed 27 times.
And look, and you were we were talking about this the other day. You go to a 7-Eleven, you know you have to have a shirt on.
Right.
Yeah. We can't go to Outback Steakhouse, sit down, take our shirts off, and have dinner. It's just one of those things that we understand, society, you just can't do it. And right now we have a situation where a mask is required.
The difference is if I take my shirt off at 7-Eleven, like my nipples are not contagious. Absolutely nothing will happen to you if I'm not wearing a shirt.
You can't walk in there to Red Lobster without shoes on.
Yeah.
You can't go in barefoot.
Try to go to Red Lobster.
And eat dinner. We all know that. You shouldn't have to fight with an employee about that.
I'm going to stab you for telling me to put shoes on. Basically, because that's the equivalent.
Right.
Hey, sir, you just have to wear shoes.
And they're private businesses.
They can do what they want. Mm-hmm.
But people are not in the right mind a lot of the time. So, I mean, to stab someone 27 times because you were asked to wear a mask that they also said that they would provide for you along with hand sanitizer, that is not too much to ask. That is not deserving of being stabbed 27 times.
Have you seen some of the wild maskers in the wild?
What do you mean?
Like, you see them on the internet. I was at my corner store like 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, and there was an older lady, and they were like, you got to put a mask on. And she was like, I'm not wearing a mask, rah, rah, rah. And then she said she was going to call the cops. So she stood outside for like, I don't know, the 10 minutes I was in there, just kind of ranting and raving. But she looked very nice, very put together.
Sure.
Then there was a guy that came in that you would think wouldn't be the mask type of person. Or just would, he just kind of walked in and they said, hey, you got to wear a mask. He was like, oh, man, my bad. Ran out, came back in with a mask on. But same thing. They told the lady, like, here's a free one. Well, I'm not wearing it. It's against my rights. And just like somebody, it wasn't me for a change. Somebody just chirped up. It was like, get the F out.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, we'll keep the line moving.
Your
rights. It's a private business.
It's right. All about your rights.
You don't have to wear a mask, but you just can't go in that business. Right. That's all. I can't go into 7-Eleven without my shirt. It's like, even in Florida, where it's hot as bees, I remember walking from the beach and the 7-Eleven was right there. And the guy's like, hey, man, you know, you got to wear a shirt. And I'm like, the chicks in here are wearing bikinis, you know, and I'm like, fine. So I had to walk back to the beach, grab my shirt, and I'm like, really, man? I mean,
you
like,
know where
to
you
God.
Can do so. We look, it might be okay to go to Chuck E. Cheese if you don't have kids. We've talked about this many times. But the bottom line is, we know damn well that you shouldn't just be two dudes at Chuck E. Cheese, you know what I mean, hanging out. Just hanging out, eating pizza.
Don't smile and say two dudes and look at me. I'm out on this.
Yeah, why?
Well, no, you'd be the third dude.
Why? Because you know damn well
why. It's super creepy.
It is super
creepy.
But
we're not there to do anything other than play video games, man.
Yeah.
And eat really bad pizza.
But we know.
I don't know if that sounds good.
But we know that that's not okay. You know what I mean? We there's a general understanding about what is acceptable behavior or not. If they still had ballrooms, like ball pits at the McDonald's.
Oh, that's done.
You know you're not supposed to get in there if you're a 50-year-old adult. I mean, it's just not something that. It's not that you can't. I mean, you could. But you know better, and you're not supposed to. Our question, who or what could you not believe you had to deal with at work? 206-421-ROCK.
I hope somebody calls in and worked at a McDonald's and is like, I had to deal with a 50-year-old guy in the ball pit.
Right. That's what I mean.
Hello, Shirley. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going, gentlemen?
We're doing great. Shirley, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So, this question, first thing that came to mind, my first job, I worked at a pawn shop, and I dealt with all kinds of F. Different kinds of stuff coming in, tweakers coming in, trade stuff in to get money, all kinds of things. But, so that's what I had to deal with.
Can I ask you a question, Shirley? Honest to God, what would you say is the percentage of people that come in that are one way or another up to no good? Look, I might have stolen property that I'm selling you. I might have property that I own myself that I'm selling back to go buy meth or whatever the deal is.
Sure.
That's up to no good, right? So what percentage of people who come in there would you say are shady individuals? Not shady, but up to no good.
I'd say a good 70%.
All right. Because I'm assuming there are some people who are legitimately going through difficult times, maybe need a few bucks, getting rid of some of their stuff. But I just don't think that would normally be the...
But that's the beauty of that business. It's never my business what your business is.
Right.
You know, like, hey, man, you're at the pawn shop. I'm going to buy, a guitar off of you, whatever. I don't care what you're going to do with the money. I got the thing you want to get. I can make assumptions about what you're going to do with the money, but not my problem.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Did anyone ever get to, when you're trying to negotiate a price for something you're going to buy from someone, I would assume, especially people that are looking to get drugs, are always going to try to talk up the price. What's the most difficult time you had with someone?
Yeah, it is difficult. Everybody thinks that what they have is worth $1 million every time. They always feel like whatever it is they have is valuable. And that's actually one of the reasons why I called in. So this is one of the situations that came to mind. This guy comes in looking shady, you know, dirty, got ragged clothes on and everything. He's got a stereo in his hand. Props the stereo up onto the desk there and says, okay, I'd like to trade this in. How much can I get? I'm looking at it, and I'm like, well, this thing's a piece of ass. It's not very nice. I don't know. I'll give you $10 for it. And he's like, well, no, I think it's worth a little bit more than that. So I pick the damn thing up and moving it around, and it starts jingling. And I'm like, what is that? So I flip it over, and I open up the back where the batteries go, and cat food falls out. And I'm like, no, man, no. I'm not even giving you $10. I'm sorry. This is no good. But that was one of the weirdest things I'd gotten in. I mean, you get in a lot of weird stuff, but that one made me laugh. I chuckled, and that one always kind of popped out when I do things about working there.
Has anyone, Shirley, did anyone ever bring anything in that you said, you know what, I'm going to take that home with me?
Oh, you working at a pawn shop, you get all kinds of good deals on stuff.
That's what I would imagine.
Cool. So, yeah, like in the back, there's a big, huge inventory section and all kinds of stuff that's about to go out onto the shelf, and so you get first pick. There's all kinds of stuff: electronics, chainsaws, power equipment, guitars.
What's the most? What item did you undersell the most? So, in other words, like I've been to a Goodwill store, And there's a dude walking around with a chair that he found at Goodwill. And I keep looking at this chair, and it occurred to me it's a thing called an Eames chair by this particular designer. The guy asked me a question about it, and I said, bro, buy it, because that thing's worth $1,500, right? People that know what they're looking at, it's a $1,500 chair. They got a $25 price tag. You'd be stupid not to buy it, right? So, I mean, there has to be times someone comes in with something where clearly they don't know how much it's worth, but you do, and you're still, I'll give you $15.
Yeah, stuff like that. Mostly jewelry. If people bring that in, they don't really, they feel like it's, you know, they feel like they're getting a good deal on it, but really, I mean, it's worth a lot more. We're going to mark that one up quite a bit.
Okay. What about
giving out all the secrets here?
What about how many people come in surely looking for something that was stolen from them?
That happens often. So we have to run a police report every single time somebody, not a police report, but we do an itemized report that we turn into the police department every day for the stuff that people are pawning.
Okay.
And I've had two different instances where we've had police officers come in because there was stolen property that ended up getting pawned.
I was going to say, okay, I play guitar, I come in, and I know I've got a little sticker somewhere on it, or maybe a place where a sticker was, mm-hmm. or whatever the thing is. I can identify that guitar. I know it's mine. Sure. You guys have got it. What do I do?
Yeah. So then you would just, you contact the police department and let them know, hey, that's mine. And then they would pull the report that we ended up filing with them, and they would take it off the shelf. We'd put it in the back while it's under investigation, and then it would get turned over.
Okay, so basically, maybe you gave this guy $200 for that guitar,
mm-hmm.
right? When you bought it, when he came mm-hmm. in. It was stolen. Mm-hmm. You didn't know that.
Yep.
You're out $200?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I was just trying to figure out how the game worked. You know, like, it just seems like if, you know, you did spend the money on the guitar.
They ain't giving you $200 for the guitar.
Whatever it is. You know what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Like, around 30
whatever the pawn shop put out. I mean, that's just a loss, I guess. But you'd have to think it'd be a tax write-off or a business loss or something like that in the end. But
I would think, because, I mean, you're running that risk at a pawn shop. And you know, I mean, probably a considerable amount of that merchandise has been stolen. It's whether or not anyone's going to call the cops about it.
Exactly.
Right?
And do you take that risk knowing that you believe that guy who came in stole that merchandise and there's a chance that it, look, you could put the money on the table.
Wouldn't you?
Okay, somebody comes in off the street, man, and they don't look like they're, you know, real well put together, but they've got a Rolex and a couple other things they want to sell.
Not my problem.
So, but isn't it the risk that, like, look, okay,
sure.
If I pay $500 for this, I, as a pawn owner, I might eat the $500 because the owner might come in here looking for that watch.
I think it would depend on the piece.
Okay.
Right? Like, if it's this very specific instrument or a very specific watch, and I know watches, I probably wouldn't buy it because it's obviously this dude stole this.
Right.
Or picked it up somewhere. But if it's just like a run-of-the-mill Rolex, like, sure.
Okay.
You had a Rolex in your possession for a while, didn't you?
Still do.
Oh, did you really have one?
Yeah.
Is it a real one?
Yeah.
You have a real Rolex?
I do.
Get out of here.
Not for long.
Somebody lost a bet.
Somebody lost a bet.
Damn.
And you got a Rolex?
Yeah. And then I've been kind of just borrowing it for a while. But
what's a while?
It's been about a year and a half.
Yeah.
How come you never rocked that thing?
I wear it every day. I just don't wear it during the show because sometimes I bang my arm on this counter.
And now that it's yours.
You wear a Rolex as a day-to-day watch? I've never even paid attention to that. Are you kidding me?
You don't know timepieces.
I guess I don't know timepieces.
No, it's fake.
Oh, all right. Is it?
I can't wear it to an event now. About to get robbed.
That's a good point. Once you tell people, yeah, man, I got a Rolex.
You really notice that? Yeah, I wear it every day.
No, I didn't know it was a Rolex. I just figured it was like a Joe Blow watch, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm impressed.
So I'm saying, if you know them and you know like how they certain ones should look, you can tell the difference.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no idea, so.
I don't either.
So I've mugged you.
Who or what could you not believe you had to deal with at work? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The men's room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
Live on the radio and KISW's Facebook page. KISW proudly presents Live Day 2020. It's going to be nuts. Sound effects, commercials, music. There is nothing that's going to be pre-recorded on that day. We're going to do it all live.
That is correct.
The music you're hearing right now as we come back for commercial break, that will be done live. Every single song on the radio between BJ and Migs in the men's room will be done live by a band. Now, obviously, it's 2020. It's been a hell of a year. No one can get together. This is very socially distanced. We'll have bands playing in their hometowns, bands playing in their living rooms. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Malcolm will be in San Diego doing his thing as far as reading the announcements and everything else. Some people will be in their homes doing live commercial reads. And you can watch the entire thing live at KISW.com and on our Facebook page. So it's going to be a little bit different as far as the challenge that we are going to have to figure out, because typically
not for us.
We do it at a casino. We get to see you guys come out, enjoy the day, get some beers and all that stuff. But you know, everything is going to be kind of all over the place this year. So as far as the High Wire Act is concerned, it's going to be happening from a lot of different places. So this will definitely be an interesting one.
See, I feel very confident about this as we do the show live every day. But to your point, the difference. Everyone else involved, because right. I don't know if there's lag time on Zoom.
Well, typically we would look to the band to the left, and then they would play a song.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now this band's in Monroe.
Right.
So, but you can see them if you check out the live day. That'll be Tuesday, November the 10th. We're going to do the entire thing live, starting with BJ and Migs, and then our show in the afternoon will do the same damn thing. So tune in. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, a question. Who or what could you not believe you had to deal with at work? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Jerry. Welcome to the men's room.
Howdy.
Hola.
Did you guys have to play Another One Bites the Dust for my story?
What's your story?
I had a death out at sea.
Well, sorry about the song selection. What do you mean out to sea? What were you doing for a living that someone died?
I worked out at a processor boat in the middle of the Bering Sea. And while we were out there, somebody suffered an unfortunate accident. They had a heart attack out there.
Okay.
And they passed away on the boat. Well, when you're out at sea, you're days away from land, you've got to put them somewhere.
I was going to ask, where do you put the corpse?
We had to clear out all the food from the freezer.
Oh!
Well, what did you eat?
The food from the freezer.
Okay.
What? How many days was this body in the freezer?
3 days.
Did you dare each other to walk in there and check on him or anything like that?
No. The chief mate locked the particular freezer up, but we had to remove all the food out of the freezer. Which this is a semi trailer sized freezer.
All right. And then...
So we had to move months of food out of the freezer in order to get space for the...
Be honest.
So you eat like kings for a couple of days because you can't let the food go
bad. Did you leave anything...
So we have other freezers on board because we're a processor. Ah. We moved the food into empty freezers that we would be putting product in eventually.
All right. Okay. So the guy's frozen stiff. You get into... you get back into port, right? Now, whose job... is it to come and get this guy? Do they call the county coroner? Do they call the police? I'm just curious.
We had a shipping service. We contacted a shipping service for the shipping of this sort of remain. But we had to get it off the boat via crane.
Why did you have to lift it? Do they remove the entire freezer or what?
Nope. They had him on a, as best we could, a respectable gurney type situation to remove him from the boat.
Oh, all right.
And then that's attached to the crane and they lift his ass out of it.
Yeah. And knowing what I know about cold water and everything else and just like how your body sometimes reacts.
Our gangplank isn't wide enough for them to have walked
All right.
Another being.
But knowing what I think I don't know about all that stuff, like Han Solo and everything, you think that would be great, like if you thaw out and you're like, I'm back.
Right. Whoa.
Wow.
That was a scary one.
That was crazy, man.
So when the guy dies, you clean out the freezer, you put him in the freezer. Now, you said it's 3 days before you get back. Do you immediately turn around to go back to shore, or do you kind of finish the job, then turn around?
Our fishing trips would be out at sea for better part of a month at a time, fill up the freezers, go into land, unload for a week, come back out to sea for another month.
So basically, you're out there until you fill everything up.
Yeah, we would do that for 5 months. So right after we offloaded him, we went back out.
What is it, cod, halibut? What are you guys going for?
Pollock.
Pollock.
Sereni, right. The imitation crab meat.
K-Rab.
You're a K-Rabby fisherman?
This is the first time I found out what the ingredient is that makes the fake crab meat.
Would you eat it?
Pollock. Would you eat
it? Yeah, you can eat it. We actually made some that was the supremely high-end stuff that only goes to extremely fancy restaurants kind of things up internationally, and then we had some that you would...
So,
you could find domestic.
So pollock is a fish. What is it, a white fish? How does it taste?
It's bland. It's a white, they're a little bit fatty, a little bit sweet, but mostly it's bland. We added sugars and things to create that crab.
Yeah, of course. Okay. What is the sanitation process?
It's a little fish too.
What is the sanitation process after you remove a corpse from the freezer that you store food in? I mean, is this a long thing or is it just kind of, hey, whatever, it's all good?
I did not have to deal with that part. It was a different shift, so I'm not even certain as to what part that happened. Our shifts were 12 hours on, 12 hours off.
I was going to say, how many people are working on that crew?
220 to 240.
So there's a good chance. You didn't know this guy personally. This just circumstantially happened.
Oh, no, I knew him personally. I would hang out at his office. I knew the man.
Okay. Did they try to revive him?
Oh, yes. They went above and beyond on that point, the individuals in the case. They did everything and then some that they could to try and do it.
I would guess there's a defibrillator on there and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. And one last question.
A person in particular was a military background, so they had a lot of experience with worse situations, but they knew exactly what to do and they did everything beyond what other people would have or could have to try and.
Now, is the freezer, is that standard protocol should something that unfortunate happen?
It's the most sanitary in a situation where you aren't close enough to be there that day.
Okay.
Are there people who put
because
in the rider?
You have a body that's no longer being preserved.
Okay.
On some ships and some boats, they would have a dedicated place.
All right.
Does not make me more comfortable. I would rather be in a place that says, look, we don't expect anyone to die, so we're going to have to use the freezer. Not, oh, that's our dead room.
What if there's like a waiver you can sign? Like, look, if I happen to die on this job, just dump me overboard.
That what you want?
Yeah,
no chumming.
Hell yeah. I mean, I'm out there. I mean, I'm dead. What's the difference, right?
Well, it depends where they are in the pickup.
Increase the crab population? I mean, what's the difference? You know, I'm just going to get cremated anyway.
Maybe.
Sure.
Depends on your family.
I mean, I'm down with cremation, but I feel like I'd still want my body to get sent to people.
It depends. I mean, like, if I did not have kids, I'm a Miles. I don't care. When I'm dead, my belief personally is that I'm dead. But kids, wife, whatever, I know they...
It doesn't look like you. Like, if you're in the box, it doesn't look like you.
No. I know. I don't know. Something seems weird about just throwing my body to sea.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just like, when I'm dead, do what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever you got
to
do.
Who or what could you not believe you had to deal with at work? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Taylor. Welcome to the men's room.
Boo, bitches.
Boo.
All right, so it started, I worked at a restaurant for my first job. I was a host, and that place closed. And the guy that my mom was dating happened to own a landscaping company. And he's like, here you go. You know, you've got a driver's license that works. I'd really like for you to work here. I was like, cool. All right. You can guess by the job field, most of my coworkers didn't speak English. Mostly Spanish. And I remember we worked 4-10s, and these guys were just flying constantly, like, why can't you keep up all this? And I was like, because I don't know. I guess I'm just not as good at this as you guys. And they never get tired. And, like, for some weird reason, they were always trying to show me their genitals.
That's just a fun part of the job, I think. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It was like every day I'd have to see one of them. But that's not the weird part. The one weird day, I'm riding with the foreman, and he looks at me. Him and I never really talked. But one day he's like, Taylor, you do any drugs? I was like, drugs? So maybe a little mota, smoke a little weed here and there. He's like, oh, okay. Do you mess with the crystal? And at the time, I had no idea what crystal was. Until like 2 years later, it kind of all clicked. I was like, crystal meth. Okay, like, that's why they're able to work 10-hour days and not be tired.
Okay.
Yeah, they're crushing it.
Did you smoke any crystal, not being aware of what it was?
Oh, definitely not, no.
Ah, okay.
Probably a good call.
Yeah, if I don't know what a drug is.
Yeah. Well, you know, there. I mean, look.
So you're saying meth, if you have a labor-intensive job, meth is the way to go. Just power through.
Oh, absolutely. These guys were, like, juice. At like 5 a.m., like, you ready? Like, no, what?
All right, yeah. Well, there's a lot of jobs like that where people are flying, man.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Trust me. Long days, long hours, the whole deal.
I never worked in a restaurant where not every cook was on coke. And half the guys, I don't even like cocaine, but I'm on my feet, 120 freaking degrees in this kitchen. We got a 14-hour shift. Like,
yeah, exactly.
All right. We got it, and
special.
And honestly, look, if you're a restaurant owner, you want your employees to be on coke because people on coke don't eat food. And let's face it, when you open it, and right, there's an allowable loss, but, you know, your staff's going to eat food here and there. But, like, guys in the kitchen,
also there for 12, 13 hours, so they're going to eat a couple meals anyway.
But not when you're on coke, Miles. Right. I'm there all day. Do you eat anything? Nope.
I'm going to need 4 shift beers, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We said 2.
I understand.
4.
That. Yeah. I didn't eat today.
Right. Exchange the food for the drink.
I need to hydrate.
Who or what could you not believe you had to deal with at work? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Angela. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I worked in retail pharmacy as a technician, and I happened to come in from work, and I am coming into the usual, someone screaming at the cashier, and little did I know, I was going to get pegged in the side of the head with a shoe.
Who threw the shoe?
The gal screaming at the freaking cashier.
What was she upset about? She wanted more drugs? You didn't buy the script? What?
No, she apparently was upset that we couldn't sell her a cell phone in the pharmacy. She wanted us to go get her one. And she eventually got up on top of the counter and had both shoes off at that point. And police were called. She had to be escorted out of the building.
Good times.
I mean, that makes sense. You go to a pharmacy to buy a cell phone.
That's what I do. I go to AutoZone for all my groceries. Man, I mean, like, man. At some point.
All weird things happen in drugstores, man.
Always.
No, well, I agree with you 100%. And it's a different crowd than, like, the corner store crazy.
It's much different.
How long did you work as a pharmacy tech?
I only worked for about 5 years. I ended up having a severe degenerative disease, so I wasn't able to work as long as, you know, most technicians are. But when you start working there for, you know, as long as some of them do, you kind of build up a thick skin to it so it doesn't bother you. But
you have to.
Some of them are pretty bad.
What happened to you physically?
I just have a degenerative disease of the spine, so my bones kind of break apart, and it's kind of nasty.
That's all.
So what's the hardest thing is just being on your feet all day?
Oh, yeah.
So what can you do now?
Right now, I'm pretty much a homemaker.
Okay, but so you just need to stay off your feet as much as you can.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
All right.
Who or what could you not believe you had to deal with at work? 206-421-ROCK.
Yeah, being a pharmacy technician is not a job I'd want.
Pharmacist.
You don't want to deal with the public that much anyway, but certainly the public there. Because like you said, there's people picking up their prescriptions. They're generally okay. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people that are trying to convince you that this is a prescription that are not okay.
Look, man, right? Just the system itself. You get an automated call from your drug lady and say, your prescription is ready at this location. And then you get up there and you know what's going to happen. Woman's going to start flipping through all those plastic things, flip, get to the M's, like, oh, it's not here. Well, you called me and said it was here. The reason I'm here is because you told me to come get it.
You called me.
Right, that's why I'm here. Oh, you're going to have to wait about a half an hour. Oh, great. Well, can I come back tomorrow? You know what I mean? Like, is it that important?
Yeah, I don't understand. It's always the case.
Yeah,
every single time. Please, pick up your prescription. Cool. Yeah, if you could wait about 20 minutes.
I go, why did you tell me it was ready?
Yeah, I got into like a yelling match with a 60-year-old dude once in a drugstore.
About what?
Because he skipped the line.
Oh,
he skipped
no.
Yeah, and I was real sick. I had like pneumonia or something. So, I mean, I need this prescription, and I'm going straight home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then the lady, he got in the wrong line, right? Okay. So then I go up, grab mine, and he like chirped me about something. Like, oh, I guess you're more important. And I was like, you're in the wrong effing line. So then he said something back, and then,
pneumonia fight!
Right?
Yeah, like
don't make me cough on you!
Get your ass, old man!
Right, exactly. Well, I've been here every day. I don't give a crap!
Yeah.
I'm dying here!
You see that blood pressure machine? You're going to break the record on this. Who or what could you not believe you had to deal with at work? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola!
Hola!
Hey, long time listener, first time caller. I'm gonna keep it short and sweet for you guys.
Okay.
So, I build fences. I'm a fence builder, and I'm off at this job one time, and we're offsetting some posts. And my coworker, he just goes, "Uh-oh, gotta go to the bathroom." I didn't think anything of it. He walks off into the woods. Long story short, I get to work the next day, and I am cleaning off my truck, and I find one of my 5-gallon buckets on there, and there's a big old log of a dookie in there, like a big one.
He pooped in the 5-gallon bucket on your truck.
Yeah, he pooped in the bucket, like sat on it like a toilet, pooped on it in the woods, and then he just put it back on my truck.
Did you
come on?
Did
man.
You talk to him about this?
What's that?
Did you address him? Did you say, hey, you could have poured that out someplace or washed the bucket out or
keep
anything.
The bucket.
I washed my car with that, brother.
I like to think I'm a pretty nice guy, but yeah, I wasn't really too happy about that. And I was,
Yeah, you're driving around with a log of,
someone else's poop, man.
A 5-gallon bucket in the back of your truck.
Yeah, but looking down and seeing it and just the whole shock and awe.
Shocking off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, even as a janitor, like you got to clean the toilets and stuff.
Right.
But when somebody poops or pees on a floor, like it's still like, what happened?
Oh my God.
Like, how do you miss the toilet?
When people were here in the office, we had a couple occasions where somebody would use the bathroom, and honest to God, it was unflushable. It was like stuck to the side or whatever the deal was. And it was just the talk of the office.
Because
like,
everyone had tried to flush it.
Go in the middle stall. See if you can get that thing to go down, man. I don't know who left that in, but it's made of Elmer's glue. I mean, seriously. It's
probably like eight different people I tried to flush it, dude. It's
just sticking there.
It's not going anywhere.
What do you think they ate? Like the whole conversation goes.
But now that, we're some of the only people here, us and BJ's show, right? We can now narrow it down who's responsible for this. It's got to be from sales and promotions. So it's not the on-air staff. Lucky for us, we have normal poops, as best I can tell, right?
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything weird in there.
That's what I'm saying. Now, when everybody's here, weird things happen every day. So sales, if you're listening, you got to wipe your ass back.
Right.
You got to do something, man.
Look, it's quite pleasant. Now you go in there, you get the stall of your choice.
I go to a place where there's somebody who pees on the floor all the time. And so, like, most of the time there's urine everywhere.
Is it a preschool?
It's not a preschool, no. It's Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. Who or what could you not believe you had to deal with at work? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Travis. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How we doing, guys?
Doing great.
I was a paper boy out delivering newspapers, and I got shot in the head with a 9mm.
What?
Okay.
Yeah. Also got, actually it was more than that. I got hit, I think, with five rounds.
So they were shooting at you intentionally, I'm assuming.
Intentionally, yes.
And who was shooting at you?
I don't even care to say his name, but they did catch the guy.
Was it somebody who lived in the neighborhood, or was it somebody who was just out randomly doing crazy crap?
Out randomly doing crazy crap.
So it wasn't anyone you knew. It's just a guy that had the gun that wants to shoot a paper boy.
You're Navin Johnson. He's going to shoot you.
Pretty much. He pulled up and he stopped. He didn't say a word to me. He shot me in the head. And I turned to run and grabbed my face, and he continued firing, took out my hips, got me square in the butt.
And when they apprehended or caught this guy, what did he say was what was going on?
Oh, he said that I was a raving madman, and I had attacked him.
As paper boys are wont to do.
Is this guy still in jail?
No, he's out now. But I was standing on the side of the road holding a Seattle Times on a Saturday.
Did this guy ever apologize to you?
Oh, no. No, he swears up and down it was self-defense as he fired from his truck. Didn't even get out, didn't say a word to me. Just unfortunate. I laid down to die, and he peeled out and left me there. And I guess a SWAT team went to his house and busted in, and they took some 40-odd guns out of his house and took him to jail.
How long ago was this?
This was a year ago.
This guy's
already out?
He's out of jail, and he tried to kill you for no reason.
Yeah, and he's and you can Google my name for the story or Google Paperboy shot and get the whole story, and nobody believes they let him out, but he got a high-priced defense attorney. The same guy that defended Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer.
Yeah.
Got the same defense attorney. His family has bucks, and they basically paid his way out of jail.
That's insane, man. I cannot believe it. I can't believe that he still maintains his innocence on this.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He admitted that he shot me. He fled the scene. 3 days later, they surveyed his house for 3 days, and then they sent a SWAT team in, and he gave up with no fight or nothing, and they took him to jail. He sat in jail for about, I think, 7 to 10 months while it went to trial, and they ended up cutting him loose.
That is insane. Yeah, I'm reading the story right now. How did your GoFundMe work out? Did you ever get any cash out of that deal?
but it was rough because I got two baby boys, and I couldn't pay for anything, man.
Yeah, I bet. And was that your only job that you had?
No, I was a telecommunications technician. I can't go back to that job. I was in a wheelchair. I just recently learned how to walk.
Doesn't sound like you have any neurological damage.
Oh, so what? I've been walking for like 48 years. Look at you.
So how much physical therapy have you been through?
They kept sending physical therapists to me, but I'd get up every day. I got in my wheelchair, I made it to my car, and I got to the YMCA every single day, 2 or 3 hours a day, and got in the water and just worked on walking in the water until my legs started working.
So now he can walk on water.
Did you think for a time period that you were going to be paralyzed from the waist down?
Oh, no. Hell okay. No.
So you had feeling and all that. You just couldn't get your brain to make your body move.
Well, yeah. It blew out both my hips. They took apart both of my hips to get bullets out. They put rods in my bones. And, I was pretty much immobile for a while. But, you know, I always had the drive that I'm getting up, I'm getting the hell out of this chair, and I'm going to walk. And, I've got two baby boys, so you've got to get up.
Right.
Yeah.
And did this happen in federal way?
Yes, it did.
Somebody chimed in and just said that this guy gets shot in federal way. So, yeah, I'd like to think you're probably the one paper guy that got shot.
Do you have a civil case against this guy?
No, I've tried to just let it go, and
move forward with my life, and thank God I'm alive.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Man, oh,
I can't
man.
Believe you can, yeah, that's, wow.
First of all, he's selling a newspaper in the internet age. Right, it was like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. that's already, and then you got shot for your trouble.
God, that is insane.
Yeah, we're looking at the story now, like,
wow. Man. Who or what could you not believe you had to deal with at work? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.